Welcome to Dayspring Church Podcast. As you listen, you may want to take a moment to pause and reflect on what God is highlighting for you.
Beautiful. Well, we are in our third week of our Behold series. Everybody say, Behold. We're talking about encountering Jesus, the encounters and the signs that are left for us in the book of John, learning about the signs that Jesus performed throughout his ministry. These signs, and really the whole book of John, was to reveal the truth of who Jesus was, the long-awaited Messiah that was prophesied about in the Old Testament. The author of this gospel himself says in chapter 20 that the purpose of recording all of these signs was so that we might believe in Jesus. And as a result of that, live our entire lives into Jesus. Not just so that we would know more information about Jesus, like other great people that we might read about in history textbooks, but so that we too as well might encounter Jesus in the same way as we read, and that our lives would be changed forever as we encounter him. Because we're not changed just by information about Jesus, are we? Are we, Dayspring? We here at Dayspring, we know that we are changed and transformed when you and I encounter the person of Jesus Christ. That is how we are changed. And so our author John, as we know, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, just beautiful, has so masterfully structured this gospel and laid out these encounters for us in his gospel like a roadmap marked with signs. Have you got that? No. Sorry. You got what I was saying? I'm glad, Ian, thank you. No, my no is that Aaron, if you know anything about me, I'm not technological. And so Aaron and Russell do their own slides. I don't, Aaron does my slides. Is that image not part of it? No. Do you know what image I'm talking about? You know that beautiful image that Nick Koo made with our video, our Prepare the Way video, and it was like a little beautiful, that was even my idea. I'm so super bummed that it's not in the slideshow. And then last week, it was up there, you know, the slide with the symbols? Yeah? Anyway, well, just picture it in your mind, this beautiful drawing that Nick Koo made for me out of something in my head. It illustrates just how masterfully our author John constructed this Gospel of John, marking out these signs like signs on a road, leading us as his audience through one incredible encounter with Jesus after another, leading all the way to what we know, the pinnacle encounter, right? The pinnacle moment, Jesus' resurrection. And with each encounter we read about, John intended for us to also be invited to encounter the kind of Messiah that Jesus is. Because us encountering Jesus and learning what he's really like is really important, right? Like we heard last week, we will live out our life of faith according to how we see him and who we believe him to be. If we believe him to be harsh and critical, then we will live out our faith accordingly. Or if we know him to be and we believe him to be good and full of love and mercy, then we will live out our faith accordingly. Amen. And last week, Aaron introduced us to the first sign that we encounter here in John in chapter 2, where Jesus turns the water to, yeah. And if you weren't here, please go back and watch that. Who was just blessed and encouraged by Aaron's message last week? It was just beautiful. It was prophetic, full of encouragement. As Aaron said, Jesus could have started his with a sign much greater than that, right? Walking on the water, raising the dead. But no, we started with a wedding that had run out of wine. And it's not even like the whole wedding was dependent upon that moment, right? It was near the end of the wedding. The formalities had already been taken care of. People had already been feasting. People had already been drinking a little bit of wine. But nevertheless, Jesus steps into this moment and he turns around about 120 gallons of water into 120 gallons of top quality wine. We heard about that. Right in this moment, in this encounter, we see and we learn that Jesus is a joyous king and that his kingdom is one of celebration and joy, right? Because that's what weddings are, aren't they, Brittany? celebration and joy. It was no accident. This is what Jesus was wanting us to see about him and his kingdom. Wedding and wine, symbols of blessing and joy that he releases through his kingdom. Amen. He reveals his ability and his desire to step into our lives, and where there is lack, he longs to release the kingdom. He wants to release the kingdom, to pour out his presence, to impart his joy, his comfort, and yes, to meet our practical needs in abundance. It's important to go over the details and the moments in our series because we are on a journey together. And that would have been a whole lot more visual if that had been up there. But we are on a journey together. So we've made our first stop in Cana, right? Galilee for the wedding. And now today we are stopping at our next sign. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 4. Is this on the screen? Great. Woo. John chapter 4, here we go. Starting in verses 46. And can I encourage us to get into the book of John together? Don't just wait to come to Sunday and hear about the next thing. Can I encourage you to open up this incredible gospel for yourself at home? Grab a commentary, jump on the Bible Project, and dig into this extraordinary gospel for yourself, because it will make our times together on Sunday all the more richer. Amen? But let's jump into this one. It says, once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard, everybody say heard, that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. And while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. And then the father, everybody say then. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Amen. There is so much in this short passage that we could unpack, and we will get to some of it together this morning. But first we need to set the scene a little bit to really understand what is happening here. Jesus had started his ministry. He had started releasing and demonstrating the kingdom to the people and the places that he was in. And we see when we begin to read this, all the different reactions that he was getting from people as they were encountering him in these moments. Like we know, he started with turning the water into wine. And then as John tells it, in his gospel anyway, we see Jesus driving out the money changers from the temple. That's the next thing that John writes about. And then we see Jesus has his secret meeting with Nicodemus. Nicodemus, of course, the teacher of the law, he knows that there is something about Jesus. It's ringing true for him, but he is trying to understand how this fits with everything that he knows about the law and Jewish custom, and he's having a hard time of it. And so he goes to visit Jesus at night so nobody can see him, because you know you've got to be careful about your reputation. But he goes and inquires and he talks to Jesus. And then we see Jesus baptizing people. And we see some of the followers and the people choosing and wanting to be baptized by Jesus instead of John the Baptist. And we see some of John the Baptist's disciples getting a little bit unsettled by this, Jesus getting more followers. And we hear John say these famous words that we know that he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. I love that. You could preach a whole message on that. He knew his assignment, but we're going to keep moving. And then we see Jesus meet the Samaritan woman at the well, and he reveals who he really is to her. And of course, we see she goes back to Samaria and she's telling everybody that can listen to her about him, and they all come out to meet him. And it says that Jesus stays with them for 2 days and many come to believe in him. And so here now, Jesus returns to Cana, where we were last week at the wedding. But a lot has happened since then, right? A lot has happened. The people have heard about Jesus. They've heard about that wedding for sure. They've heard about the ruckus at the temple that Jesus caused. They've heard about his visit to Samaria. So by the time he comes back to Galilee, all sorts of people are coming out to see who all the gossip is about, who all the stirring is about, and to see what he might be doing next. And of course, you've got those who need a miracle, who are in need, because they've heard this man performs miracles. And so mixed up in all the crowds, you've got those in need coming to see if they could perhaps get a miracle for themselves, which we know is what brought our royal official out on this day. Amen. And you know, as I was preparing for this, I was overcome with fresh revelation of the magnitude of Jesus' act at coming for us, coming towards us. The lengths that he went to and still goes to remove obstacles that separate him from us in order to come close and to reveal himself to us and to release his kingdom to us. Can I encourage you to open up your heart this morning? Because I really feel just an anointing on this word to bring encouragement to you. Like the people here and throughout scripture following Jesus, the crowds pressing in to find him, to see him, to receive from him, we too can also feel sometimes just like we're in this constant state of searching, reaching, grasping almost for Jesus. Have you ever felt like that? He can feel distant sometimes, or we can read scripture and sometimes just struggle to understand how all this is supposed to impact my Monday and the situation that I am facing. All the time though, sometimes we miss the fact that the one that we are looking for and searching for is in hot pursuit of us. He is coming so hard and fast towards us. These people, this man here, our official in this passage looking for Jesus, not realizing that Jesus has literally moved heaven and earth to get here, to get to them, to reveal himself to them. And through this encounter in John this morning, I'm praying and I'm hoping that you see just how many obstacles Jesus removes and the gaps that he bridges in order to get to us. So are you ready this morning? Are you ready for him to speak to you? Amen. All right, well, the first obstacle that we see, the first gap that Jesus bridges that we can see here is the distance gap. The distance gap. Now, I'm not sure if you know this or have recognized this, but we are not in heaven, are we? Have you noticed that? Did you notice that this morning when you woke up in the freezing cold? Did something about that tell you, this isn't heaven? You know, we can experience, like there's this world and this earth is beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And it does say in scripture that we can see God in creation, absolutely. And we can experience heavenly moments, right? Like that Bryan Adams song, give me a wave if you know Bryan Adams, showing my age, yeah. In that song, you know, where he's trying to capture his feelings about being with his love. Here we go, here are the lyrics. Love is all that I need. Don't worry, I won't sing. And I found it there in your arms. It isn't too hard to see we're in heaven. Anyone know that song? Oh, I love a good romance song, especially with all the weddings. Have you got some good romance songs for us, Brittany? Great. But look, as lovely as that sentiment is, right? Sorry, Brian, that's not heaven. That's not heaven. And we don't have to look too far on this earth to acknowledge that earth right now, it's not heaven. Am I right? It's not heaven. There was and still is a distance between heaven and earth, between the realm of the Creator and the realm of his creation. And in order for what was and still is wrong with this world, the sin and the destruction that is at play, in order for all that to be dealt with once and for all, Jesus had to bridge that gap. The Creator laying aside his divinity to put on created flesh. You know, if we flip back a few chapters, if you've got your Bible, flip back a few chapters to chapter one, because the author of John here tries, and he does a beautiful job, to capture the enormity and the wonder of this idea. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was, what? Was with God, and the Word was God. Just as much as you try not to fumble your words, there you go. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Beautifully powerful, amen? But I don't think our human minds can really grasp what these words are trying to express. Jesus, the Word, the one who spoke it all into being, seeing his creation separated and under the weight of sin and destruction, steps down into creation itself in order to bring salvation. And he doesn't just show up ready to go, right? Like a Marvel movie. Who's seen the newest Superman movie? Jesus didn't show up like that from his planet Krypton with his cape ready to overthrow the Romans and defeat sin. That's not how it happened. No, in order to really overcome the root of this problem, he had to surrender himself to the order of his own creation and begin like every one of us by being born. I don't know about you, but my mind struggles to grasp what that must have been like for him, to be the creator being born, to be a baby, to go through childhood, to grow into teenagehood, to grow into a man, to then begin his ministry and his salvation work. The Word became flesh in every way. And here he is, the Word made flesh in our account, releasing the kingdom still through his Word, just like he did at creation. But here he is doing it again, but this time from human form, in a human form. It's incredible. He bridged an impossible gap, not just for the people at the time, but for you and for I and for all mankind. Is that incredible news this morning? That is something that sometimes we need to sit and think about those things. We can become so familiar with something like that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Incredible gap that Jesus overcame for you and for I. But how hard must have that been for Jesus if you think about it, being amongst and standing before people who had no idea who he was, the Creator, and they had no idea. Which brings us to the next gap that we see Jesus overcome, not just in this encounter, but over again. It's the misunderstanding gap. The misunderstanding gap. You know, most people who encountered Jesus didn't recognize who he was and in fact rejected who he was. There was undoubtedly something about Jesus. I mean, there was crowds always around him, but he was greatly misunderstood. In Matthew 16, we see Jesus himself. He asks his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Misunderstanding. The misunderstanding still exists today. You know, many people agree and gravitate to the teachings of Jesus, but not necessarily view Jesus as the Savior. Amen? The Savior, the Son of God. Muhammad admired Jesus, the founder of Islam. This is what he says about Jesus. Jesus was the penultimate messenger from God who brought down the great revelations of the Gospels. He was not the savior he is in Christianity, but Jesus was nonetheless a great prophet to be respected, beloved, and someone from whom we should learn. Thomas Jefferson, this is what he had to say about Jesus. And he rejected the whole notion of the resurrection and Jesus as savior, but he says his teachings were the outlines of a system of the most sublime morality which has ever fallen from the lips of a man. That's what he said about Jesus' teachings. And look, if you're looking for something to put on a t-shirt this morning and inspire you, what about this? These are the words of Sylvester Stallone. Right? This is what he says about Jesus. Jesus is the inspiration for anyone to go the distance. Oh, we don't need to, we can go home now. Thanks, Sylvester. All this to say, from the time Jesus walked the earth to now, there have clearly been misunderstandings about him. And so coming back to our encounter today here in John, the crowds have come out to see him and they've heard, like we said, all about the events, the stories, the drama, the controversies. And so most were out to see the man who was behind it all and to get a glimpse of the action. And we know we've got those searching for miracles, which brings us to our official. And it doesn't say here that our official was seeking the Messiah. No, it says in verse 47, when this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. And Jesus responds, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. You know, I think sometimes it's easy to read this comment from Jesus as unfeeling or a harsh rebuke to this man, but there's more to it. When he says, you people, it's plural, right? Jesus, I think, is simply speaking to the facts, or perhaps his frustration that if these people only knew, if these people only knew who was standing in their midst, then they would believe. If they really grasped that I was the creator, they would be on their knees before me in worship, overcome, amen? But rather the crowds, they're pressing in to see the next sign, the next exciting thing that might happen because Jesus, the man they've heard about, is here. Misunderstanding gap. People not understanding who he is and why he came. And we see this when he's talking to the Samaritan woman. He says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And again, the author himself in chapter 1, verse 10, he says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Those who had studied the scriptures, the Pharisees, didn't recognize him. Those he came to save didn't understand and often struggled to receive from him. His disciples, those closest to him, we see them over and over again struggling to understand what he was saying, what he was doing, struggling to follow his lead. Yet, everybody say yet. And this is the whole point this morning. In the face of all this misunderstanding, the misunderstanding gap, Jesus continued to bridge the gap and he remained faithful in his pursuit of them, obedient and committed to continue to release the kingdom and his goodness to them. Amen? The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied. Your son will live. Did the official understand who Jesus was fully? No. Did Jesus come and meet him anyway? Yes, he did. How much more do we ourselves sometimes misunderstand? Anybody misunderstand sometimes or just not understand? We're perplexed at life, with God, with what he's doing, with what he's not doing, what he hasn't done. Left wondering what we're supposed to be doing or saying or praying. Anybody been there? And how often then do we think that in our misunderstanding of things, we let that disqualify us? We think that God can't or he won't come and move in our life because clearly we've missed something important here. Something about this isn't making sense. And so therefore, God, he's not moving or he won't come and move. You know what? He doesn't. That misunderstanding gap, it hasn't stopped him before. It's never stopped him actually. And it's not going to stop him now. And it's never going to stop him. He willingly bridges that misunderstanding gap for us over and over and over again. Come on, this is good news for those who will hear it this morning. He doesn't wait for us to perfectly understand everything before he comes. He's not waiting for you to be able to read the Bible in Greek before he comes to you. He's not waiting for you to pray the perfect prayer. And if you're in the middle of decision-making in your life, he is not waiting for you to discern it all perfectly with wisdom before he wants to come close and speak wisdom to you and to be in the decision-making with you. Amen? He is in hot pursuit of you because he loves you. He's bridged the distance gap. He's bridging and he will continue to bridge the misunderstanding gap. In Jesus' name. The other gap that we see, and this is another really important one this morning, is the faith gap. The faith gap. You know, oftentimes, and we talked a lot about this in our recent series on faith, but we think our faith needs to be perfect before God will act. It needs to be a little bit stronger. There's something else in here that I need to crack the code before, you know, God will move. But we see here and throughout scripture that that's just not so. The man took Jesus at his word, it said, and departed. And while he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. And then the father realized that this was the exact time that Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. Here we see a progression of faith for this man. He didn't start with a faith in Jesus that he fully understood him as Messiah. No, he had simply heard that Jesus performed miracles and he needed one for his son. So he came out to get one that day. He was desperate. If you've ever had a child who's been desperately sick or a loved one, you know how that feels, right? There's helplessness and fear and a desperation. And this was this man. This was this man on this day. And the word that he uses here when he says, my child, it's that affectionate term that means my little one. He's saying to Jesus, my little one is sick. Heal him. So the focus for this man wasn't on Jesus as far as him being the Messiah. He needed a miracle. And Jesus gives him the word that his son will live. And he turns to go home. And it says that he took Jesus at his word. And it's not until he returns home to find that his son has been healed that he figures out, it was the moment that Jesus said it, was the moment that it happened. And it says, then he and his whole household believed. So you're picking this up. When did the fullness of faith come? After the miracle, not before. There was a faith gap for this man. And Jesus bridged that gap and released a miracle into his life anyway. Am I saying this morning that our faith is not important? Absolutely not, because we see throughout Scripture men and women who've contended with faith to receive the promises and the power of God, and we see Jesus commend people for their faith. Like the woman with the issue of blood, if I could just reach out and touch him, I know I'll be healed. And she does, and Jesus turns and says, daughter, your faith has healed you, has made you well. To the Samaritan man with leprosy, he says, stand and go, your faith has healed you. Our faith is important, but what is equally true, listen, is that the quality of our faith doesn't disqualify us either. I'm going to say it again. Our faith is important, but what is equally true is that the quality of our faith doesn't disqualify us either. Good news? Great news. This official had no faith, extraordinary faith in Jesus as the Messiah when he came. You know, when Jesus first encounters his disciples and he asks them, you know, in Matthew, to put the nets out and to throw the nets out again. And Peter looks at him and he's just like, he disagrees, struggles with that instruction. But because he recognizes that Jesus is a teacher, a rabbi, he says, okay, and he throws the nets out. And of course, a miracle happens. So many fish, the nets and the boats can't contain it. And Peter drops to his knees with the revelation of who Jesus is. Was there faith in Peter with Jesus to begin with, beforehand? No. Did Jesus perform a miracle anyway? Yes. The tax collector, Zacchaeus, was just another person in the crowds, right, who'd heard all the hoo-ha, and he came out that day to see him. It says that struggling to see, he climbs the tree, right? And Jesus sees him and he calls him down and he embraces him with love and acceptance, and it changes Zacchaeus' life forever. On that morning, did Zacchaeus have faith for a life-changing encounter with Jesus? Come on. Did Jesus encounter him anyway? Yes, 100%. What about the road to Damascus? Was the Apostle Paul looking for Jesus? Was there faith in Jesus present at that moment? No, Paul was actually on his way to persecute and arrest people who followed Jesus. My goodness, talk about a faith gap. Paul wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus was looking for Paul. Was there faith? Did Paul have faith in Jesus? Did Jesus encounter him anyway? Yes. Why am I repeating this today? Because this is good news today, if you would hear it and receive it. This encounter here in John, this sign that John recorded for us, was to tell us that there is no obstacle that can stop him. There is no gap too big that he can't get to us, to meet us with his love and his forgiveness and with his mercy, and to release his kingdom into your life. Amen? We are so often aware of our own shortcomings and failures that we see as unbridgeable gaps between God and us. Things that disqualify us from his work in our lives. And this encounter right here, and many others that are recorded in Scripture, they tell us that we serve a God who has literally moved heaven and earth to get to us, to save us, and to release his kingdom into our lives. He wants to remind us, he wants to remind you this morning that there is no gap too big to keep him from you. Amen. Why don't we stand? Oh, actually, no. Keys. I'll just have the keys back at the moment. I'm getting ahead of myself. Are we okay this morning? Just going to take a sip of water. No gap too big. You know who had a revelation of this? King David. King David had a revelation of this. Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. I love that. Sometimes we feel like we're lost. He's not, can't see us. No, he not only can see you, he's holding you. He's got you in his grasp. He's holding you fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Beautiful. Whatever you think the gaps are in your life today, maybe it's a distance gap. Maybe you feel like you are too far from him. There's too much going on. This going on in my life, it's too difficult. Or maybe it's an understanding gap. The stuff of life has left you in a place where it's just not making sense and you're wondering where God is and what he's doing and what is he not doing. Or maybe it's a faith gap this morning, and once you had great faith, you're full of faith, and now you feel like maybe you've got like a little candle flame, little tea light candle. That's your faith. Went from a roaring fire to a tea light candle. Or maybe it's just a hot coal. Right? Well, this morning through his gospel, John the author is saying, look, like a sign, look, here is your Jesus, your Messiah. He came. Amen. He has bridged every gap. He is the Messiah who pursues you, who comes for you, who overcomes every limitation, disqualification, failure, and weakness to release his kingdom into your life. And you might be thinking, how is that even possible? I don't feel like that could be possible. Well, because it's dependent upon him and not us. Isn't that great news? It's not dependent upon us. It's all dependent upon him. It's amazing. Tim Keller, when he's talking about this sign, he uses an illustration of a chair to try to explain this. You know, we disqualify ourselves because we think that our faith and our trust in God, it's too small, right? Well, the faith, like we just saw of the official here in this initial encounter with Jesus, was small too. He didn't have faith in Jesus as Messiah, but he took him at his word, and that was enough. Why? Because the faith that saves, again, it's not the quality of the faith, but the quality of the faith that the faith is in, right? The object of that faith. I'm going to say that again. Because the faith that saves is not the quality of the faith, but the quality of what the faith is in. The object of that faith. So picture we had a chair here, right? Picture there's a chair here. Most of us would have faith that if I would walk over and sit in it, that it would hold me up, right? But it really kind of depends on the quality of the chair. Because if the chair was broken and I walked over and I sat in it and I'd fall and you would all laugh and that would be the comedic moment for the morning, right? Oh, Kristen's fallen on the floor. Or... if the chair was strong and the quality of it was good, then I'd sit in it and I'd be okay. And the whole moment would be redeemed and my dignity would be kept intact, right? What's the point? It doesn't matter about my approach to the chair. Whether I hop to the chair, skip to the chair, if I'm timid in my approach or I'm bold, it has nothing to do with it. It's the quality of the chair. It's the strength of the chair that holds me. Amen? So it is with Jesus this morning. So it is. Yes, I'm called to trust and have faith in him and to work with him as my relationship grows, to see my faith and trust grow and strengthen and develop. But it's not the quality of my faith that saves me. It's the quality of the one who I have my faith in. Isn't that amazing? It's not the quality of your faith this morning. It's the quality of the one that you have your faith in. And he is unfailing. He is unshakable. He never goes back on his word. You can throw your life upon Jesus. Do you know that this morning? He holds you. He has you. He has you. The official's son was healed simply because Jesus said so. didn't come down to the official. It had everything to do with Jesus, the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh, releasing His kingdom through His Word. And that Word going again and being made manifest in flesh when that little boy rose again in full health. Stunning. Why don't we stand? This morning, we have the same opportunity to encounter the Word Himself, to receive the same revelation that this official received that day in experience with Jesus. That Jesus, our Messiah, has spoken life and blessing over each and every one of us here this morning. And no gap in heaven, on earth, or in hell can hold Him back from watching over that Word He spoke over us to perform it. Do you know that this morning? That's the power of His Word. These signs are encounters. What's an encounter? It's where the gap between heaven and earth closes. It's where it intersects. It's where heaven meets earth. That's an encounter, and that's what we are in this morning. That's the power of His Word. It's living and active. When we, as His people, open the Word and we engage with it, and like the official, take Jesus at His Word, there's power in it. It becomes flesh in our lives. It's life. And it's powerful and active as we receive it. And we have that opportunity right here in these moments to encounter Jesus. Why don't we lift our hands and close our eyes for just a moment, just to remove distraction, if you feel comfortable with that, just to remove distraction and to focus in on what Jesus is wanting to say to each and every one of us right now. Because I believe there are two kinds of people that the Lord wants to speak to: those who need to hear for the first time and those who need to be reminded. Those who need to hear for the first time. Some of us here in the room need to hear that, you know, before you were even born, each and every day of yours was written in His book before you even took your first breath. Do you know that? He knows you. He sees you, and He knows you better than you know yourself. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Your life matters greatly. And He has incredibly important and meaningful things for you to do in your life. It's the truth. And some of you this morning, you know, you've seen good things happen to the people around you, and you've dreamed about being used by God, but you think it just might not be for you. It feels like maybe it just comes and it's hitting the people around you and it's not hitting you. And if that's you this morning, God is saying, I'm here, I see you, I am calling you, and I am telling you now that I have come. I have bridged every conceivable gap to get to you. And this morning, I'm telling you, I have a plan and a purpose for your life. If you would only believe in me, put your trust in me, get to know me, I'll reveal these things to you. I want to be used. I want to be used through you, your life. And then there are those this morning who need to be reminded. Some of us in the room have encountered Jesus, and we've sensed and heard God speak words of promise and purpose over our lives. But over time, the gap seems too big. How are you ever going to do that now, God? Look at this mess. What about that? And we've taken that word or that sense or that dream that we felt God give us, and we've shelved it. And maybe some of us here haven't shelved it, but we sure have taken it back off and we've remolded it. We've shrunk it down and we've remolded it into something way more achievable and believable. And Jesus is here this morning to say, excuse me, who was the one that spoke that? I am the Word. I am not just a great rabbi or a prophet. I am the Word who spoke creation and your very life into existence. I spoke that word over your life, and I intend to fulfill it. And it's not all hinging on you anyway. Why did you take that and squish that and remold that? It was my word, and I intend to see it fulfilled in my name. I just believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to people all over this room. I just want you to hold your hands out, and I want you to picture those things in your hands. Hold it out before the Lord. If you feel Him speaking to you, Him reminding you of things, promises. Some of you are feeling the Holy Spirit for the very first time. It feels like a stirring inside of you. Maybe your heart is racing a little bit, or is affecting your emotions. That's the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you. Thank you, Jesus. Don't get caught in your heads right now. How is this all going to happen? That's not the point. All we need, what does Jesus say? We need faith the size of a mustard seed, just enough to cling to Him. It's not hinging on us, it's hinging on Him. Listen to this, I'm gonna speak as you hold those words in your hands in front of Jesus. I'm going to speak His words over you. This is what He says about His words. Isaiah 55, this is what we felt God speak over our church at the beginning of this year. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Jeremiah 1, I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Isaiah 46, keep this in mind and don't forget it. Take this to heart. Remember the miracles of long ago. Acknowledge that I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I declare the beginning and how it will end and foretell from the start what has not yet happened. I decree that my purpose will stand and I will fulfill my every plan. I have spoken and yes, I will bring it to pass. I have formed my plan and yes, I will do it. Why don't we give God a praise this morning? Why don't you lift up your voice and thank Him for His faithfulness over your life? Come on, why don't you lift up a shout of praise because He's faithful and He is who He says He is? Let's just lift our hands. Jesus, we just thank You for who You are. God, we receive, we say yes and amen to all You are wanting to do in and through our lives in this moment. We thank You, Jesus, that every time we open Your word, we can encounter You. Lord, Your word is living and active, and it is this morning, and You are here. And so, Lord Jesus, we say yes to an encounter with You. Lord, we thank You for the power of Your word. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, for every one of us, Lord, who have felt like the gap is too big, Lord, from the moment when You spoke a word to now, Lord, I pray, God, that You would open our eyes to the reality that You have literally moved heaven and earth to come, to bridge every conceivable gap that we think would hold You away from us. God, You have overridden and demolished. Lord, You are in full pursuit of us this morning, and You have every intention of being faithful to Your word. Lord, I just release life, fresh life in the name of Jesus over every person, over every heart and mind and soul. Lord, give us fresh eyes to see You, fresh eyes of faith, sensitive hearts to receive, Lord, what it is that You're saying. Lord, I just release fresh hope and faith, God, into words that have been shelved and words that have been shrunk down and reshaped in a more manageable, palatable thing. Lord, break that off us in Jesus' name. Lord, yeah, open our eyes, Lord Jesus, to who it is that is standing before us. The Word made flesh. We receive You, Jesus. Lord, and as we continue in this series, as we follow Your signs of encounter, Lord, don't let it just be words on a page, but Lord, when we're at home and we open up Your Word, encounter us, change us, make us more like You, Jesus. I actually had in worship just a really strong word from the Lord, and I didn't quite know where to release it. So I'm just going to release it now. I felt like God wanted to, He was just speaking to people going through a transition. People going through some kind of transition. So like a work transition, maybe a relocation, a relational change of some sort. And I just felt like we needed to pray for those people. So if you are in the middle or you're about to, in some kind of transition, can you just raise your hand if you feel comfortable too? Okay, there's lots of hands. Great. All right, well, family moment. Why don't you just turn to the person and we're just gonna release blessing over these people who are facing and walking through a transition. Yeah, wedding transition. But I felt that like this, there's a lot of gaps. In a transition, there's unknowns, right? It's not, like I would love for Jesus to give us a binder with the map and all the details. Just doesn't work like that. But it can feel a little bit disorientating and we feel unsteady. And I just felt Him say, like the same gaps that we're talking about, I've got this. And those of you who have stepped into a transition, particularly those who felt God on it and calling you, again, the Word made flesh called you into this transition. And so He is faithful to provide and to see you through to the other side. And so, yeah, let's just pray. Let's just release, put a hand on somebody. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for those in the room who are facing a transition or walking through a transition. God, first, we just thank you, Lord, that, yeah, that you've always got new, incredible things on the horizon. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for these people who have taken obedient steps, Lord, to step out in faith maybe, to make a change, to take you at your word. But Lord, you know, God, that, yeah, the lack of detail sometimes, it unsettles us. You know how our humanity, and that doesn't frustrate you. And this morning, you want to come close to all those in transition in the room to remind them that you've got this, that you called them and you've got this. You've got the details in hand, that you go before them, that you make a way, that there is resource, that there is favor, that there is open doors, that there is opportunity, that there is divine appointments and relationships. Lord, I pray, we just pray, Lord, for a fresh faith and a fresh courage, Lord, as they walk through this transition. We just speak peace over every person, over every household in transition, that their sleep would be deep and restful in the knowledge that you have them, that you hold them fast in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we all said? And we all said? Amen. Why don't we give him one more shout of praise because he's good.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you were blessed. To find out what's happening in the life of our community, you can visit dayspring.com.au or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram.